Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Listen, turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John in chapter 1. And we're going to continue. This is week 2 of our Easter series, and we're going to continue this series next week. The series is called Let There Be Light. And the reason that God was speaking to us about this being the series is that we live in a world that needs light. And I'm not talking about the sun in the sky. I'm talking about Jesus. This world that we live in needs the light, the hope, and the life that can be found in none other than Jesus. There are many things that we can turn to. There are many alternatives, even through Walt's amazing story, that you can go and have fun and work on a travel show and go hang gliding, and wouldn't we all love to do that? But at the end of the day, you can fill your life with a bunch of stuff, but unless He is filling your life, there will always be something missing. You were created by God to be in relationship with God, and you were created by God with a space in your world. There is something inside you that somehow knows its connection with heaven. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it deeply or considered it, but if you take a moment to kind of sit back and block out every other distraction and relationship and things that fill our lives and ask yourself the question, is there something missing? For some people here in the room, you might think, man, there is actually really nothing missing. I actually feel quite good. I don't have Jesus and I'm okay. But God's qualifier for a great life isn't okay. That there is so much more for you than just to be okay. You might be okay. You might not have had any negative news at the doctor's office recently. You look in your bank account and you've finally gotten to a point in your career where finances are decently healthy and your budget is starting to finally make sense. You might be in later years in your life and you're kind of looking at the way things have been, and you're surrounded by love and you're surrounded by acceptance and you feel like your life is okay. But when we invite Jesus into our world, he starts to talk to us about living beyond just ourselves, and that life is not actually meant to be for just ourselves. That God wants to be inside your heart. He wants to live inside your heart and give you such a strength of purpose and such a future that is far beyond possibly what you've ever thought, dreamed, or imagined. And if you can be open to that message and that thought here today, I believe that Jesus is ready to speak to you here today. The reason that the screen here behind me is a empty tomb with the door wide open is that the God that we serve is not a dead God. He's not an idol that's built out of stone, brass, or gold. The God that we serve came from heaven to earth and lived on earth just amongst us, but then showed earth that He was divine and holy and majestic by rising from the dead and going to the right hand in heaven with His Father, and left with us His Spirit, and His Spirit is alive and real and here with us today. Does somebody believe that? Does somebody believe that? And that's why Easter Sunday is so important, because on Easter Sunday, we don't reflect on the death instrument, the cross of Jesus. We reflect on the fact that the tomb is empty, but not empty because He is now absent, empty because He doesn't live in some hole in the ground. He wants to live in your heart. And that's the truth. Amen? Amen. So I spoke all that just to give you a lot of time to turn to John chapter 1. Are you there? Did you find it? If you still haven't found it, that's okay. We all need help. So John chapter 1, I'm going to marry this up with the passage that I preached last week, Genesis chapter 1. And these two passages of Scripture work hand in hand, and you'll see that as I read them. So stay in John 1. I'm going to read to you Genesis 1, the passage of where we get the title of this message series from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering, the Holy Spirit, over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let there be light." Such a powerful little moment here that we read right in the beginning of Scripture. And there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And it was evening and morning the first day. Now, if you turn to John chapter 1, we see the first three words here reflected back in Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. How crazy is that? The Word was God. So the Word is referred to as He. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that had been made. What this is referring to is the Word here is Jesus. That this Word means it means Logos, which theologically is the name. It is Jesus here written. That's why it refers to the Word as a He. And so you could read it like this: in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. This is like a really great theological proof of the Trinity. That in the beginning, the Spirit was hovering, God was there, and Jesus was there, and all of creation happened through the Word of God, through Jesus. In Him, verse 4, was life, and that life was the light to mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. No matter how dark your world may seem, darkness cannot overcome the light that's found in Jesus. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Hi, John. He came to witness and testify concerning the light, though through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came to tell about the light. That is exactly who we are in C3. C3 is not the light. You don't come to church to find the light because you join a connect group in church. But when you join a connect group in church or be a part of a church, that you would understand that we're here just banging on, preaching on about how you can find the light. That we are one person in need of Jesus trying to tell other people that need Jesus where you can find Jesus. Then we're exactly, that's why we are like John the Baptist. That this church just wants to tell people and show people and point people to the way. And then in verse 9, the last verse here this morning, is the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The true light. Everybody say true light. The true light was coming into the world. So the Word is Jesus. The Word was spoken out of God's mouth in Genesis chapter 1, where he said, "Let there be light." Now, we read in John 1 that light is referred to as Jesus, that he is the life and the light, and he is the Word. So when God wanted to deal with darkness and deal with emptiness and deal with a formless place, he chose to speak something into that place so that darkness would leave, that emptiness would be gone, and that there would be a hope and a future. So what did he do? His Word came out of his mouth, and we just read that the Word is Jesus. So you could read Genesis chapter 1 and you could say, when God first spoke, he said, "Let there be Jesus." How crazy is that? That the Word of God came out of God, and the Word of God is Jesus. And when God's intention and his desire for all of mankind has never stopped since those first four words, that he wants there to be the presence of his Son Jesus in your life. That where he says, "Let there be light," he wants your future to have light. He wants your destiny to be filled with light. But deeper than that, and more specifically than that, he doesn't want just a light bulb to go on. He doesn't want an epiphany, a revelation. He wants the revelation to be pointed to his Son, and his Son is Jesus. So what his desire for your life is not that you would just have a great idea, a bright idea, a light moment. That his desire for your life is that you would have Jesus. That you would have Jesus. He said, "Let there be Jesus." And I feel the intensity and the urgency of all of heaven at Easter time, where this message is still beaming from the beginning of time, where God wanted his intent, where God is begging the world to let Jesus in. Let there be Jesus. Let there be Jesus. Can you let there be Jesus in your world? That question was the first thing that came out of God's mouth, and it's the question that still stands today. It's the request of heaven: let there be light. Let there be Jesus. Are you following me? Good. I repeat myself when I don't get any amens. So you need to say amen really loud. So how many people want me to move on? Okay, good, good. All right. A little offended, but it's fine. All right, so point one is God's word creates hope. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning, God spoke. If God was sitting right next to you, if God was sitting here right now and I just said, listen, now you and God just need to have a coffee and have a little chat, what do you think would be the things that God would say out of his mouth to you? About a year ago, I was in Trinity Bellwoods just kind of waiting on my wife. That's a big theme in my life. So bad. She's not here. It's all right. I'll be waiting for her later. All right. So I was in Trinity Bellwoods and I sparked up a conversation with a guy sitting next to me on this bench. And after I told him that I was a minister, and, you know, a few things happen when I tell people I'm a minister, most people are shocked by it. Like, most people don't believe me. Like, the time when I was at the border crossing trying to get into the States, and they ask you what you do, and I'm like, yeah, so I'm a minister, and the guys obviously didn't believe me, because they're like, right, you get into the office right now, and we're going to search your car. It's like, you think of a better alibi, buddy, if you're going to smuggle drugs across the border like a minister. And then they're like, oh, no, he actually is a minister. That's weird. But a lot of people have many different things in and expectations before they even get to church of what church is. A lot of people walk into C3 Toronto and are blown away. Wow, you guys look normal. I don't know what people expect when they come into church, and I don't know what you expect by how God speaks to you. Like when, and he said, listen, I don't want you to talk to me about Jesus because Jesus would have nothing good to say about me. This was the guy sitting in the park. And he said, if, like, you don't know what I've gone through. And he just started to say that Jesus would be so disappointed in him and would have nothing good to say. And maybe there's somebody here that just thinks that if Jesus was sitting right next to you, that he would speak to you with like complete disappointment. That the first words that would come out of his mouth is like, man, you know, you let me down big time. What you did last week, I'm so disappointed. You know, I've got a good life for you, but why do you keep talking to your spouse that way? Why do you keep thinking those thoughts? Man, I'm so bothered by your thinking. Would Jesus say that to you? Would God say that to you? Back in the creation of the universe, there was darkness and emptiness and a whole bunch of, like, it was a void place, and God doesn't focus on darkness. He's not bothered by darkness. Light is never bothered by darkness. And so he doesn't focus on darkness. He just speaks light. He opens up his mouth and light comes out. So he's standing there when there was complete darkness, and he didn't look around and say, oh man, I'm so disappointed about how dark it is right now. He wasn't God in the beginning and say, man, I'm so bothered by how empty things feel in this current moment. No. He just opens his mouth and says, well, whatever that is, but let there be light. And so he opens his mouth and speaks into your future. And he doesn't look at your situation and care about the fact that things that might be a little bit damaged, that things might be a little bit dark, that the atmosphere of your brain, the atmosphere of your thinking, sometimes there's a presence of depression, the presence of hopelessness. He's not bothered that hopelessness might exist sometimes in your world. He just wants to know, what are you going to do about it? And are you going to allow him to have a word of light for that hopeless situation? Are you going to let God in? Are you going to let there be Jesus in that hopeless situation so that Jesus can come in and just go, lights on, baby, lights on. Like, I know if Jesus was sitting next to you, see, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, they kind of just brag on one another. And if Jesus was sitting right next to you, I feel like that he would just start talking about the Holy Spirit. He'd be like, listen, you know, you never have to go through life alone. That my Spirit is with you, and that he is the comforter, and he is awesome. And then if the Holy Spirit was sitting there right next to you, and he started speaking to you, he would just start bragging about God. He'd be like, do you know God's heart for you? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that God is so good and that the goodness of God? He would just start to speak the heart of his Father in heaven. And if God were there, I feel like he would be just bragging on Jesus. Hey, Jesus took it all for you, right? That's what he would say. That he wouldn't talk about the presence of humanity in your life. He would just talk about, let's get the presence of divinity in your life. Let's get the presence of God. Let's get the presence of Jesus. Let's get the presence of the Godhead in your life. Let's get light in your world. Because you need to know that Jesus took it all for you. And God would say, my son, he took it all for you. You don't need to take it on for yourself. You don't need to handle life yourself. They would just brag on one another. That's how glory works. Like Jesus left the earth and said, I'm going to leave someone greater than you. He's the Holy Spirit. He's awesome. You can't wait for the Holy Spirit. When I go up to heaven, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit comes and goes, man, did I tell you how great Jesus is? Jesus is awesome. That's how it works. And it's not that God's not interested about talking about your life, but God's not interested in talking about the circumstances that aren't Him in your life. And then when God comes into your life, He wants to talk to you about your life in Jesus and how good that is. Too many Christians talk too much about judgment and condemnation. We start spinning around about how people are doing so wrong when all we really need to talk about is how right Jesus is. Somebody give God some praise. That was good. You're not going to come to this church and hear 27 sentences about how your life is messed up. You're going to hear 27 sentences about how Jesus' life is so perfect. That's what you're going to hear. Somebody say amen. 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 Number two, Jesus is an expert in dark situations, in dark circumstances. Jesus is an expert with darkness. He rose again and rolled the stone aside and got out of his own dark situation. That it wasn't like those 3 days of darkness when all the earth, when the devil thought he'd won and all the earth and everybody, it wasn't like God was in heaven freaking out whether Jesus was going to get out of this thing. The Bible says that Jesus is the resurrection. And the resurrection just can't be the resurrection until something dies. And so Jesus wants to be the resurrection in your dead situation. So stop hanging on to it. Let it die. Put that dead situation into the hands of Jesus and watch Him raise some stuff to life in your world. Let the resurrection be the resurrection. In John chapter 1 verse 5 says this about darkness. Says, and we just read this before. It says, the light shines in darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. Darkness cannot overcome it. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So it doesn't matter if darkness, depression, hopelessness, sin, pain, death, fear, anxiety, whatever it is, it doesn't matter if that stuff is present in your life, that the darker the situation, the better light shines. The darker the circumstance, the better light shines. All we need to understand is our need for light. Do you know you need Jesus? I was taking Noah through his bedtime routine, and what happens is he has a little nightlight that has a sensor on it that when there's enough darkness in the room, this light turns on. And so we turn off the bedroom light one night. We do this every night. Turn off the bedroom light, say, good night, buddy, love you. Daddy loves you. Jesus loves you. And so turn off the light, and his little nightlight comes on. And he says to me, Daddy, why does my light come on only when you turn that light off? And I'm like, buddy, and this is where just the oracles of God just came out of my mouth. And I was like, man, I must be a prophet. And so, like I said to him, I'm like, buddy, it's because the light's not needed until it's dark. Yeah, I know, right? I heard that might have just been sympathy, but that's fine. I'll take it anyway. Do you know, Jesus doesn't turn the light on in your life until He knows He's needed. Let me prove that to you through Mark chapter 2 verse 17. It says, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are right or righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Do you think that you need Jesus? Yeah. There are some people, and we're surrounded by people in Toronto, in Western culture, that have a lot going on for them and are unaware of their need for a Savior. If you don't think you're drowning, you won't realize you need saving. And that the light of Jesus only starts to work in the presence of need, in the presence of surrender, in the presence of somebody saying, Dear Jesus, I need you. And often in life, it doesn't become a big reality until tragedy hits. But I know just even in my day-to-day living, for me to just be the husband that I need to be for my wife, I need Jesus. Any husbands with me? To just be a father for my 4-year-old and my 1-year-old, and the anxiety I feel sometimes trying to work out, how can I be all I need to be for these kids? I need Jesus. Sometimes when my head is lying down on my pillow at night, the thoughts that go through my head, the anxiety of what tomorrow holds, the presence of depression and hopelessness, feeling like, man, I don't have what it takes. I know in those moments, I need Jesus. But I don't just need Jesus in the bad moments. I need Jesus in the good moments. That when I'm celebrating, when I'm doing life with people, Jesus wants to be with you in every moment. I know that for many people that it's very obvious, the need for Jesus. But I know for some of us, sometimes it's not so obvious. And I remember a very obvious moment where I needed Jesus. I'm just going to get the keys up just while I land all these planes. I just remember this moment in my life where it was crazy, the amount of anxiety, and you never know when life's just going to hit you so hard. And the need for God's word, the need for the spoken light of God to come into my life was made evident more than any other time in my life. And it was when my mom passed away. People in our church know this story, but in the first year of starting this church 5 years ago, my mom had a cerebral aneurysm, and I never got to say goodbye to her, and she just passed away. And our worlds were colliding. Noah, my firstborn, was, she passed away 5 days before his due date, and she never got to meet him. So we're having a brand new baby and the sudden death of my mom all in the same period of life. And I might have thought I was okay. And I'm not saying to you that the only time you need Jesus is in immense tragedy, but I'm saying don't leave it for immense tragedy before you realize how much you need Jesus. And I did have a lot of friends around my life, but it was something about that moment that friends just couldn't give me the counsel that I needed. They were some light, but they weren't the true light. And it was like the word of God was the only thing left. And I remember turning to the 40th chapter of Isaiah, where God's word was the only light. It was like Jesus revealed in the word. The first verse of Isaiah 40 says, "Comfort, bring comfort to my people." And I can't tell you the amount of comfort that I needed. And reading the Holy Scripture like that, and reading the Word of God that brings hope, reading that Word, feeling the comfort and the presence of my Lord and Savior Jesus, even in the midst of crazy confusion, understanding why does this happen to me and not being able to understand it. And then Isaiah reads on, and it says about how God's ways are higher than our ways, and he is so much bigger than us, and how he holds the stars in his hands. And I'm like, I needed the presence of a bigger power in my life in that moment, because I felt completely powerless. And then it ends with that even though you're young and that you will grow weary, that if you wait on God, that hope comes into your world, and all of a sudden you find yourself mounting up on something that isn't even your power, isn't even your strength, and strength now comes back into your world. And I can't tell you that about the Word of God, where you need God, you need His Word, and the Word that spoke, "Let there be light," those same words that created the universe, those words were starting to create and reform my future of me being in a presence of crazy darkness and immense need. But the truth is it didn't take that moment for me to realize that I needed Jesus. That we all need Jesus all the time. That no matter how good you can work it out, no matter how intelligent you are, no matter how many good deeds you can do for people down the street, no matter how many compassion children you support, at the end of the day, your goodness is but trying to even touch the goodness of God. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. And in John chapter 1 here in verse 9, and I already read it to you, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. It's not a question, did Jesus come into the world? The question is will you allow him, will you let him to come into your world? I've heard it said like this, that Jesus knocks on the door of your heart, but the door handle of your heart is only on the inside. He's a gentleman. He'll wait for you to turn that door handle and open the door, and he's waiting for you right now. So with every head bowed and every